Lord, I pray that you turn this whole place into an altar, a place, an offering, where we would sit ourselves right down into the altar. We give you what we've been studying in Romans 12, our everyday life, walking around life, Lord, our working, eating, sleeping life, and we present it to you that you can do extraordinary things with us. Lord, I pray that you would unfold purpose and destiny today. Lord, that you would reignite dreams in our hearts. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited to share with you this morning, and we get to jump into week three. If you haven't been here, I'll just do a little review, and then we'll move right on. But Caleb spoke the first week about being like a missionary, living like a missionary, how we all need to pick up a call. Even if we're not called into a foreign field, you right here can live with mission, with purpose, with intentionality, you know, like really live after what God has in his heart. And we need to think like missionaries. And then we need to go into our community like missionaries. And then last week he covered, and he talked about God having for each of us an extraordinary purpose over our lives and how it's his delight, his joy to share with you what that purpose is. Now, I feel like some of us still feel like it's still a mystery to me what God is, you know, what's my purpose. He wants to continue to unfold that, and that comes by relationship with him. So we're not just to sit around then and wait, but we are to actively be looking for the hearts that are open, like God's placing us to release his life to, and actively looking for God's purpose. And so that jumps into where we are today in Acts 16. And I want to continue by picking up kind of where we left off last week. We've been looking at the life of Paul. And Paul and Silas are on a missionary journey. They've been sent out. They're going with a sense of mission. And as they're going, they just feel like the Holy Spirit's like, no, not to this city, not to this place. And then they turn to go to another direction, and the Holy Spirit said, mm-mm, not here either. And so they're praying, and they're like, God, where do you have us to go? Where specifically do you want us to land and to preach the gospel? And so we pick up in Acts 16, verse 9, and this is a message paraphrase. It says, that night Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, come over to Macedonia and help us. The dream gave Paul his map. We went to work at once, getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the pieces had come together. We knew now for sure that God had called us to preach the good news to the Europeans. Now, this is a pretty amazing step in the gospel. Here we have a person in a dream calling from the shores of one country, standing literally on the shore side. We know he's Macedonian because he must have a certain look, certain outfit, the way he dresses. And to Paul in the dream, he's calling, come over here, come to my life. I need you right here. We need you over here in this country. We need you right where we are. And so Paul took that as like, okay, we need to go where he is. And how many know that you are needed in your generation? I feel like there's people that are calling in their spirit out saying, I need you in my life. I need what you have to be released where I live, where I am. And so he has this dream, this powerful vision. And I want to ask the question this morning, where are the dreamers? Where are the visionaries of our day? You know, Joel 2 and Acts 2, where they bring up the prophecy of, and in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And we focus on the spirit of prophecy a lot. We focus on, yes, our sons and our daughters are a prophetic generation, but we stop reading the rest of the verse because it's quoted in both Joel and Acts. And what does it say? That there's going to also be a release of dreams and visions. That a part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a part of being Pentecostal, if you don't know what Pentecostal is, let's have a talk after. But part of being filled with the Holy Spirit, there would be a release of the anointing of the Spirit on your life, and there would be a release not only of prophetic gifting, but of dreams and visions. When's the last time you had a big God dream? When was the last time, maybe back in your childhood, you had a God dream? You had a glimpse into who you wanted to be or who you would become. Maybe even your parent, when they were pregnant with you, you know, when your mama was pregnant, she had a dream. I think of Marie up here leading worship this morning, and her mama, while she was pregnant with Marie, had a dream of her singing and song and releasing. She didn't know it was worship, but just singing. And here we have this powerful, anointed young lady in our midst who's fulfilling a dream that a mom had in her heart. But how many know that the dreams God wants to give us are greater than the dreams even parents can have over us? Like, I think of Joseph in Scripture, and he had a father that loved him so dearly, so much. Like, I mean, he was the baby of the family, and he was highly favored by daddy. But even dad could not comprehend and take in the fact the dreams that Joseph had as a 17-year-old boy, that suddenly all his family and all those around him would bow down to him. When was the last time you had a dream or a vision that just scared you or scared people around you? Like, that's so impossible. That's so incredible. That's so over the top, because it's only what God can do. And here they're having a dream moment. They're having, come help us. Come bring the word of life to a place that's never heard it before. Come have breakthrough over here in our land. We need you right here. Where are your dreams today? Maybe it's a dream you had since you've became a Christian. Right when you became a baby Christian, you begin to think about what was possible with God, what your marriage could be like, what you would do at your job. Where have those dreams gone? I feel like we get educated in the school of hard knocks, and we think, oh, that was just a childhood thing, or that's before I knew better, or, you know, or now I kind of really know, and maybe it's just my own thoughts or what I wanted. But no. What if in your childlikeness, God was able to plant a seed? Because you wouldn't dismiss it. You wouldn't write it off as too impossible or for him to use you that way. I mean, now you know yourself more, right? You're getting older. You're starting to get familiar with, you know, who you are a little, right? You know your hang-ups, whether you want to admit them or not. And, you know, you're aware. But what if God gave you some of his heart back when you were a young Christian, or back when you're a young child, before you could even distinguish between whose thoughts these were? What if he spoke to you? What if you had like a Jeremiah moment where he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you had a birthday, I had a plan, a destiny. I ordained you. I set you apart for a specific purpose. Every person in this room was fashioned for the same incredible greatness. God can say over you, just like the words of Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I had a purpose for you. You were made for his glory. Each of us was made for a life with purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are his workmanship. Wow. God's been working on some things. He's been forming some things and molding them and creating them and nailing them together and putting it all together. Some translations say this, for we are his masterpiece, his piece de resistance, when he looks at you. For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, you had a destiny on your life before you even put your little feet on this earth. You had a purpose, God purpose over your life before you got here. Now tell the person next to you that they're a masterpiece. Now don't say it with that evil grin. Now, if you're single, you just turn to them and ask them for their phone number, too. Okay. You're a masterpiece. That's God's words towards you. Now, can I have your phone number? All right. Just Christian dating 101, right? But now we see the good works that Paul and Silas were about to walk in and walk out. We see what they were destined for, the dreams that they had put, God had put in their heart. And they began to go. They journey to a city called Philippi, and they're like, we're going to walk in these good works. We're going to walk in what God's created us for. We're in destiny right now. And they began to move out. And Caleb shared last week about a lady named Lydia, how she was a a businesswoman, and she becomes a Christian, a believer, and she follows the Lord. But also in this city, as they stay and minister, there's a young girl, and she's following them around wherever they go. And she's crying out behind them, "Behold the servants of the living God who are going to show us the way of salvation." Except for the scripture says that Paul was grieved in his spirit, because while she had the right words, there was something wrong from the spirit in which it was coming from. Because this young slave girl was demon possessed. And she was possessed, the scripture tells us, with the spirit of divination, with the spirit of fortune telling. And so Paul, being grieved in his spirit, he speaks the word of deliverance over her life and sets her free. Oh, to be free from somebody else's control, to be free from an evil spirit. People just want to make money off of your life. To be free. And this young girl was free, but the owners of this young girl were very, very upset, because now they realized their profit was gone. Their ability to use and manipulate her was gone. And so we pick up in Acts 16, verses 20 through 25, and they brought them, this is Paul and Silas, to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." They're like, "We don't really want this Christianity thing here, this churchianity here. We don't do the churchianity thing here in Marin." Oh, snap. I had a friend who posted something on Facebook. They had an event going on. She's like, "I'll be there after church." And someone replied on there, "Do people still go to church here?" Yeah. So here they are saying, "We're bringing freedom." They're like, I don't know if we really do this freedom thing here, this deliverance from bondage thing here. But here they come bringing life and freedom, and they're complaining about it. Verse 22, "And then the multitude rose up together against them." The crowd is always fickle, you guys, always easily moved. "And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." So here they are, beaten with many stripes. This is speaking of the severity of the situation. This wasn't some like little light tap on the wrist. No. Don't do what you're doing. You know, cut it out. We don't really like that here. This is a lot more trouble than that. And here they end up in prison while following the vision and dream of God. It's crazy, isn't it? If you really think about it, it's pretty crazy. Just because we do what is right or you follow the vision and dream of God doesn't mean you get ahead in this life as in successful as people want to count success. But we still have to follow the purpose. Romans 12, we've been in it the last couple of weeks, and it tells us we're taking our whole life and presenting it as an offering to God. That means as a living sacrifice. We're doing what he wants, and that means the good and bad days. That's the high and low days. That's the days of victory and the days of defeat. The days of the mountaintops and the valleys. All the days of our lives, there's purpose in all those times. And so we have to recognize then that a dark time doesn't shut down the purpose of God in our lives. A difficult time does not shut down or blind out the purpose of God in our lives. Perhaps even, if we just think about this for a moment, God allows us to be situated in the darkest of places because that's where light is needed most. They thought they were just going to a city. But he's like, no, I'm going to another level. We're going into the dungeons of the city. We're going deep down where there's darkness. I'm taking you all the way in, Paul and Silas. wow, we thought that dream, I'm sure they're like, victory in Jesus, my Savior. You know, they're going like, we have direction, we have dream, we have vision. They're marching to a good beat, you know, until that day it all turns up on side of its head and flips over on them. And they're like, where are we now? What are we doing here? The question really becomes, what should I be doing here, God? You have me here. I am here. Now, what should I be doing here? And we need to stop segmenting the purpose of God in our lives. We really have become a culture where we're so good at segmenting parts of our lives off. This is my spiritual, churchy life. This is my professional life. This is my social life. And over here, well, maybe over here, is my marital life. Because I don't know how close I want that to my social life. Right? And we begin segmenting our life in different areas. We begin separating it out. But God's purpose is connected through all those areas. Through what you do here on a Sunday, to where you show up on a Monday, to the relationships you have on Facebook and all week long, to the one you are committed to till death do you part. His purpose is through all those segments of your life. I mean, no matter what hat you wear, there's purpose on your life. So it doesn't matter what position you hold, there's still purpose on your life. You know, think about Joseph just for a second. I mean, he had this incredible dream, and the vision of God, the purpose of God, did not leave him, whether he was in the perfect father's love, whether he was sold for slavery, whether he was then in prison, or whether he was in the palace. There was purpose, and God was with him no matter where he went. And I want to say it's the same for all of us here, that there's purpose over your life, with no matter where you are, what hat you're wearing, whether you have a job or you're jobless, whether you're married, whether you're single, it doesn't matter. God has a purpose for you to walk in. You never stop being light. You never stop being who you're created to be. And so the character you manifest is just as important as the gifts you release. I can like manifest over that one. Shut up! You know, like, I'm Holy Spirit filled, so. Oh, come on, guys. Smile. You're like, what was that? I don't know, but just enjoy it. Okay. The character you manifest is just as important as the gifts you release. I'm saying this because it's been so incredible, you guys, the last few years in the body of Christ, hasn't it? Like, I just sit back and go, oh my gosh, God, you're doing such amazing things in the body of Christ at large. I just, like, love the body of Christ. And I just go, people are being activated in their gifts worldwide. Like, people, the anointing and power of God, the supernatural manifestations, the gifts that are written about in Scripture that we can walk in are being released. And there's been a strong emphasis on those things. But I want to again remind us that the character we manifest is just as important as the gifts we release. Because I feel like sometimes the pendulum will swing and the body of Christ will be like, oh, no, it's all about the gifts now. It's all about supernatural manifestations. Or we'll be on the other side and be like, no, we got to have character. Well, but we need both. And we do need both, actually. It's the same Spirit that leads you to step out in the supernatural manifestations as it is that leads you in the fruit of character. So if you're like, I'm a big character person, well, then that same Spirit that's leading you to have character is the same Spirit that's going to lead you into these supernatural and crazy, amazing things. So good. So it's not either or. I'd like to remind us that the character of God brings as much glory, just as much glory as moving in the gifts, because it releases the nature of who he is in the earth. There's love, there's self-control, there's faithfulness, there's kindness, there's joy being released in my life. And that's the very nature and character of who he is. And that brings him glory just as much as manifesting a gift of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a release of healings, gift of miracles, faith for situation. It all brings him glory. So don't minimize one or the other. Have both. All right, come on. Tell the person next to you, have both. Okay, and one more time, you're a masterpiece. You're pretty on both sides. Got character and gifts. You're a masterpiece. We need not to use the difficult things we face in our life, the difficult times we face in our life, as an excuse. Now, here they are bound up in prison. And I know some of us, when we have a bad day, really bad day, we get home, pull out the carton of ice cream. No, we don't get a bowl this time because we've had a bad day. We just get the spoon and we start digging in, right? Because I've had a bad day. And if anybody makes a comment, ooh, they are in trouble. Don't even mention the ice cream being eaten the whole gallon, right? Because we have an excuse. We cast off some restraint because it's been very difficult and challenging in this moment. We cast off our self-control and we go, the problem is, you guys, we take this to other extremes. We take it into sinning. We think because we're going through a difficult time, I'm going to move away from God. I'm going to move away from the purpose that I've been walking in, or I'm going to move away from my relationships, or I'm going to use it as an excuse to sin. I keep going back to Joseph, and I will a couple more times, but you know, Joseph he experienced a prison too. But before he was in a prison, he was sold as a slave. I mean, this amazing, incredible dreamer. I mean, they called him the dreamer. Where are your dreams now? I mean, he's sold as a slave. And as a slave, he receives a proposition. His master's wife was like, hey, baby, you're one fine hunky meat. Now, the scripture calls him a babe. The scripture calls him hot stuff. If you don't believe me, it's there, I promise you. Go home and study your Bible. There's more exciting things in there than you realize. I'm sure in the Hebrew, you look it up, it just says he was hot. No. It actually says, this is all I'll tell you. It actually says he was handsome in form and appearance. He was like, not only got the facial features going, appearance, but in form. I mean, he's got the physique. I mean, girls, he was like, whoa, what just walked in the room, you know? Like, okay. That was the slave Joseph. So she's like, I'm taking advantage of this situation. Hey, baby, why don't you come over and let's have some fun? And it says she persisted after him. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Sin was after him. And he could have been like, I've had a lame year. I've had a lame couple years. My brothers sold me off, told dad I was dead, abandoned me here. I'm sick of being a servant. I'm sick of scrubbing somebody else's floor. Don't you remember the dreams I had that I would be a ruler and everybody else would bow down to me? Well, maybe this is my opportunity. I'll sleep with her. No, it says that he chose. He would not let that darkness in because Joseph was light, and he's put in a dark place, and he's like, I'm not coming under the darkness that's around me, but I am a light, and I will not sin against God, and I will not sin against my master. And he held the ground, and boy, did Joseph get ahead? No, things got worse for him. Because when you serve the purpose of God, it doesn't mean everything just goes your way. And so it got worse for him, and he was thrown into prison where he's left for years. But the scripture is very clear that God was with him in the prison. God was with him when he was a slave. God was with him when he was in the palace. And I want to tell you today, God is with you no matter where you are. God is with you. The purpose, there's purpose in the prison. There's purpose in the darkness. There's purpose in Marin County. There's purpose in Sonoma County. God puts you here. You are here. In this moment, we have to have a goal to understand God's purpose in our lives and live that out. I know sometimes, you guys, we're just trying to make it through the day. We're like on the treadmill. Like, you know, it goes nowhere. We're just running through our day, just going, 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 and going nowhere. But 1 Corinthians 9:26 says this, I run with purpose in every step. Every every step I take in this life, I'm after the purpose of God. I'm doing it with intention. I'm following after the dream, the vision that God has put in my heart. And I run. In other words, I'm not in uncertainty. I'm with a definite aim. And can pray into a situation. God, I'm not sure here. The apostles were praying. We're not sure here. It seems like you closed this door. And he's like, okay, over here. He opened this door. And so pray into your life. Pray into what God wants you to do. Discover his direction for you. As Ephesians 5 tells us, I love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5 tells us, I'm just paraphrasing verses 15 through 17. It says, you had an excuse before because you lived in darkness. You're dead on the inside, but now Christ has made you alive. He has made the lights come on. Not just outward, but inwardly, he's made the lights come on. And so you're not just to waste your time here in busy work and going through a useless life after foolish things, but you're to live with the understanding of what the will of God is. And you're to make the most of the life, the opportunities that you've been given. Redeem the time, it says. Some of us are more familiar with that. Redeem the time. So it's telling us that we're to live our lives with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who don't know the meaning of life, but as those who do. And so just like we're talking about here, the purpose of God stretches from all spans of our life, spiritual, social, marital, professional, what all those areas of our life. The purpose of God stretches from any hat we wear, from any place we are, from the Father's love to the pit, to the prison, to the palace. His purpose is always there and back again. You are here and you are light. It's time to own it. It's time to own the fact that you live here in Marin and Sonoma counties in San Francisco Bay Area. You live in this place. It's time to own it that you are light. You are what Ephesians 5, 8, and 9 says. You are light and are to live as light. Wow. That means you release and manifest the goodness of who he is, the righteousness of who he is, the truth of who he is. And this is a source of light that is from within. So it doesn't matter what surrounds you, what the atmosphere is around you, what the environment is around you. You are light from within and it shines everywhere you go. Yeah. So where you show up, there's love being released. There's power being released. There's goodness being released. There's truth being released because you are light. I tell you, this is your prime time. You are in your prime time. I feel like God's like, you know, like there's television, there's prime time where most people are watching, like the most expensive spots even. They're highlighted the most because most people, God's saying this is prime time in the kingdom. The light shines all the time, but when does it become more apparent? When there's darkness. When there's darkness. So maybe you're here in this time, in the kingdom, for such a time as this, because you need to be the light that shines bright in the darkness. So stop complaining. Put it off. Doesn't look good on you anyway. Doesn't look good on any of us. Face your obstacles with some kind of optimism that the Lord gives. Look at the storms with the power and strength that God gives and problems with solutions. And you're going to see at verse 25, we read it, at midnight, at dark hour, what were they doing? Whining? Complaining? No, they were praying and singing hymns. At the darkest hour. I mean, get it, you guys, the moment they would... They had just been beaten with many stripes, not just like a few, tap, tap, but many stripes. They were bloody and they were put in stocks. And so they were in a position where it would create cramping in their physical being. And I'm sure like they would move just a little bit and another cramp would seize onto them. And instead of complaining and whining, what were they doing? They were praying and singing. I mean, I think of Psalm 32, you surround me with songs of deliverance. So they're singing and praying, and I'm sure it started with, you know, these amazing prayers about who the Lord was, who Jesus was, and they're like, you know, you're the all-sufficient sacrifice. You were freely given. You paid the highest price. You bought our redemption. So heaven's gates swing wide. And I'm sure then it just broke into like a song we sing right now, right? Like, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I can't sing, you guys. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And they started singing. That's all you get. They were bursting out singing. There's power. And what does it say that was happening while they were singing? People were listening to them. It says the prisoners were listening in. You always have unexpected observers and listeners on your life. Christians often exert influence that they are totally unaware of. You don't realize just by walking into a room, walking into your business, place of business, that you, just by the light of who you are and Jesus in you, you're sending off waves of love and truth and hope and goodness. And just by the virtue of who you are. And so much so that it convicts people, because the presence of the Holy God is with you, that there's a convincing and a convicting going on just by you being there and not even saying anything. Now, you need to say something, too, but I want us to point out, it's a both and again. Just by virtue of being light, you're releasing something into the atmosphere that people, I tell you, are aware of. This is why people will come up to you and be like, who are you? What is there different about you? You look like you're glowing. What, I don't know, you know, what is going on? They, like, will point it out because they recognize. They're like, well, I shouldn't cuss in front of you. Like, I'm sorry. They start, suddenly become aware of things that they weren't aware of before. They're observing. They're watching. There is the outright in our lives. There's the overt when we preach the gospel, the very outward, this awesome outreach that we did. I mean, so incredible. I'm so grateful for an amazing team. Like, Lord, bless them. Like, give them, like, I don't know, just bless them. And just, I'm blessed by hearing it. So it's just, like, so awesome. But there's that overt, but then there's also the covert. There's the things that you're unaware of that you're doing that are having an impact. Because people are watching as you go through your life how you're handling the dark times as well as the easy times. What are you like in the prison as much as you're like in the palace? What are you like? They're watching all times. They don't want to see fakes. They want to see what's real. When it really gets down to it, what are you really like? And this is what we see. We see the virtue of who Christ is manifest in their lives. They're releasing prayers and praise. Like, and so the prisoners here, they're used to, like, what? Profane language, curses at the jail, the guards. They're used to complaining. They're used to wailing in pain as those cramps would take place in their bodies. They're used to a certain atmosphere being released, but this was not an ordinary atmosphere. This was totally different. Why was it different? Because there's somebody else there besides just Paul and Silas. Because where you are, he is. Matthew 18:20 tells us, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I am there. You are here, so is he. 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 We can go around the whole room. You are here, so is he. He's there with them. And he's working. He's moving. His presence is being released. This means his love, his life, his power is being released. And so what happens then when the victor shows up? What happens when the champion of our souls is in the room? Well, there's about to be another win. Let's read verses 26 to 34 to close this morning. It says, suddenly, as they were singing, as they were praying, suddenly there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I mean, talk about, I'm sending an earthquake right here. Chicka, chicka, chicka. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Now that is miraculous in and of itself, because it wasn't just a shaking and walls moving, but it says doors, every single prison door was open and chains fell off of all the prisoners. What kind of praise is this? I mean, you guys, I think I missed a slide. That's really good. But like, I just want to say, just maybe your songs in the night are just as powerful as your sermons in the daytime. That's in your notes, I think. If it's not, write it down. All right. Because Maybe your songs that you're singing in the night, maybe the things that you're releasing in the dark times of your soul are just as powerful as the things that you're releasing really loudly and really vocally in the good times. Songs in the night are just as powerful as sermons in the daylight. And here, they've been singing and they're breaking off a spirit of rejection. They're breaking off that brokenness, that those sitting in darkness and beating themselves up for the mistake of a life that they made. Those that are no longer not, they're cutting their own heart inwardly. They're cutting themselves inwardly and cutting themselves down and putting themselves down because here they are in prison. And as they're singing, a new atmosphere is being released. And I believe today God wants to free people that are broken in the inside. And they're not being beaten up on the outside, but they're being beaten up on the inside. And God wants his love to shower down on you today and free you, set you free. And I believe that even there's some of you here that you may be, and I'm going to say this with such compassion, that you may be cutting yourself. And I mean literally cutting yourself. And God's going to give you such a power of love to overcome the pain that you've been going through. He sees you, he knows you, and he wants to bring deliverance to your life. He wants to set you free. And so here they're singing, the earthquake comes, and every single person's chains are loosed. Gosh, that's power. That's power. And a keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners are like, we're out of here. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why would he do this? Because the lives of those that he held were now what he was responsible for. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. I mean, that's a miracle in of itself. Prison doors open. Now, I know I'm running out of time, but this is such a powerful thing. When we were in Argentina years ago, there was such a revival in the prisons that they no longer have to keep the doors. They took the doors off of the prison in this certain ward that we went and visited because this is so incredible. Because God had so changed these men's hearts. This is a men's facility. And that all they would have to do then to leave their prison cell is put their hand out the door, and that was their way of asking permission to leave their cell. And they would keep to it. And, I mean, this was the only area in this, like, I mean, it was like a real prison, you know. It's not like, oh, that's just a fake prison. No, a real, you know, people of hard crime, you know, are in this prison. And God's doing a work, a transformation, a change. And I just see that here, that not one person fled. They're in this atmosphere of the presence of God. They're in this atmosphere of the presence of love. They're like, where would I go? I mean, just the shock of like, I don't know what we were just experiencing, but now I'm free. And I come free in his presence. And so Paul's like, do yourself no harm. And they called for a light and ran in. And he fell down, the warden fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in your household. I love it. Not by any works. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them in that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So guys, this morning, don't panic in prison. God's got you covered. Where you are, he is there. He is with you. You're positioned to release his purpose. You're here for this time. As the worship team will come, and I'm going to have Caleb come and lead us in communion. As we go into communion, I want you to take away a few things. First of all, let's make a commitment to live our lives on purpose. I'm hoping that through this series, you are here. It's reignited something in you. And you're saying, no matter what, I'm going to run with purpose in every step. I'm going to make sure he's using me wherever I am. And then we want to seek him for his design for our life, really seek after him. And I believe in this, God wants to release even fresh dreams and visions, not only revive the dreams and visions that we've had or we put aside or maybe forgotten about, but he wants to give us a new feeling, a new release of what he wants to do through us and in us. And thirdly, the excuses that we've had. Maybe you're one you've made excuses for stepping away from the purpose on your life. You made excuses from stepping away from relationship with God. You made excuses for sin. He wants you to take those things and present them to him at the cross. Instead of using it as an excuse for serving ourselves, He wants to reignite a passion for following him, passion for his purpose. So before he leads us in communion, I really want to pray Colossians 1, 9, and 10 over you. If you can go ahead and close your eyes. So I'm going to pray over these three things, and then I want to pray Colossians 1 and 9 so you have an opportunity to respond. But Lord, we thank you that you created us for purpose. You had things in your heart for our lives, for each of us here. And I pray we become so aware of our destiny, so aware why we are here on planet Earth, why you've made us. And we begin to take the approach to our life as that we want to live with every step in your purpose, and that you'd reveal this to us. Lord, I pray that there would be a release of dreams and visions on this community here, that there would be a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would take place, and it would manifest in character, manifest in gifts of the Spirit, and it would manifest in a refreshing of dreams and visions that are God-given. Revive the things that have been forgotten. Revive the things that have been written off as just a childhood-ish dream. Lord, bring those back to life, I pray. And Lord, I pray for those that are dealing with excuses, where we've chosen sin instead of righteousness, where we've chosen selfishness instead of following wholeheartedly after you, that you would do a work in our heart through this communion, Lord. You would do a work in our heart of transformation. And I pray this, and I want to read Colossians 1, 9, and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And I just bless you as the pastors of New Life here. I bless you in the purpose and destiny over your life. I bless each person that you've created in this place, that they would fully understand and begin to comprehend why you've brought them to the kingdom for such a time as this. God bless.